World Council Headquarters. Anita Halleck appeared cool, unruffled, as she sat at her massive curved desk of ebony and brushed chrome. Its surface was clear, Jordan saw. The hallmark of a capable executive, he remembered. Shift the work to your underlings. Halleck's office was more than commodious. The desk was in one corner, flanked by sweeping windows that looked out on the busy avenues of Barcelona. Four comfortable burgundy leather armchairs were arranged in a shallow semicircle in front of it. An oval conference table took up the far corner of the room. A pair of sumptuous couches were arranged across from it, a curved glass coffee table between them. Jordan thought that the recliner in the remaining corner looked like a therapy chair. Castiglione ushered Jordan and Aditi into the office. No one else, no police or security guards. Yet Jordan felt as if he and his wife were under arrest, facing angry, suspicious, powerful authority. He sensed a tautness beneath Halleck's outwardly calm appearance, a tightness of the mouth, a hard expression in her eyes. Instead of inviting them to sit down, Halleck asked, "How did you do that? Commandeering all the video channels all around the world, even the private chat channels." Before Jordan could reply, Aditi said, "Our communications engineers will be happy to explain it to you." "They will?" surprised. With a nod, Aditi replied, "Our policy has always been to answer all your questions completely and honestly, but only the questions you have learned to ask." Halleck frowned at that. "May we sit down?" Jordan asked. "Of course," said Halleck, gesturing brusquely to the armchairs. They sat, Aditi between the two men. Castiglione made a show of looking at his wristwatch. "Should we have tea?" he asked. "Not for me," said Jordan. "I'm here to discuss what the World Council plans to do about the death wave." Halleck frowned at him. "You're here," she said firmly, "to hear what we've decided to do about you. This business of broadcasting your story all over the world, plus Cellini and the other lunar communities," Aditi informed her, "and the settlements in the asteroid belt and elsewhere."
"Through the entire solar system," Castiglione muttered.
"Of course."
Pointing a finger at Aditi, Halleck asked, "You did this?"
"With help from my people on New Earth."
Before Halleck could respond to that, Jordan said, "You might as well face the fact that you can't keep us muzzled. I intend to tell the truth to the people of Earth, to all the human beings in the solar system. The problem is too big to be hushed up." Halleck glared at him. "The people have a right to know," Jordan continued. "They have a right to make their opinions known to the World Council."
"So you're going to play on their emotions, to try to force the Council to do what you want," said Halleck.
"I'm going to explain the situation to them fully and honestly. Then we'll see what they decide."
The ghost of a smile crept across Halleck's face. "And you think that they'll go into a panic over a problem that won't affect us for 2,000 years?
"I'm hoping," Jordan said, "that they'll have the decency to try to save intelligent species who will be destroyed by the death wave in another century or two, unless we act to save them."
"Who are these intelligent species?" Castiglione demanded. "Where are they?" "Our astronomers can explain that to you," said Aditi.
Jordan said, "There are at least 6 intelligent species within 500 light-years of Earth. All of them appear to be pre-technological in their development. They are intelligent, but they haven't yet developed high technology. No electricity, no space travel, no interstellar communications."
"Then how do you know of them?" "Our predecessors have sent scouts throughout this sector of the galaxy," Aditi said. "Once they detected the death wave, they began searching for intelligent species that would be endangered."
Jordan added, "Life in the universe is commonplace, apparently, but intelligence is very rare. It's our duty to help intelligent creatures to survive the death wave."
"Our duty," Halleck echoed.
"Our moral obligation," Jordan insisted. But he did not tell her the rest of it. He did not tell Halleck and Castiglione that most intelligent civilizations destroy themselves one way or the other. He did not tell them that intelligence often leads to a dead end.